For the lab, sir, we are going to start with telling the specific investigations first, that is the skin biopsy of the lesional skin for histopathology and then perilesional skin for the direct immunofluorescence. And indirect immunofluorescence can be done on the serum. And besides that, we can go for the other serological tests like ELISA, immunoblotting, etc. as well. बेसलाइन इन्वेस्टिगेशंस को हमने हमेशा बाद में बताना होता है, क्योंकि जो है अगर आप बेसलाइन इन्वेस्टिगेशन से स्टार्ट करते हैं तो ज़्यादा अच्छा इंप्रेशन नहीं देता. ज़्यादा एग्जामिनर्स यही कहते हैं कि अगर आप स्पेसिफिक इन्वेस्टिगेशंस पहले बताएं तो वो ज़्यादा बेहतर रहते हैं. तो इस वजह से हमने पहले ये बताना है कि वी आर गोइंग टू परफॉर्म द स्किन बायोप्सी ऑफ द लीजनल स्किन टू लुक फॉर द लेवल ऑफ द स्प्लिट, इन विच वी आर गोइंग टू सी दैट इफ़ इट इज़ पेम्फिगस वल्गैरिस. The early stages will show eosinophilic spongiosis, which will later develop suprabasal split with the tombstoning and acantholytic cells inside the epidermis. Besides this, in the dermis, there will be mild superficial mixed inflammatory infiltrate. In pemphigus foliaceus, usually the level of the split is subcorneal or superficial. In intraepidermal split, acantholytic cells will be attached to the roof or the base of the split. In paraneoplastic pemphigus, the split will be not only in the intraepidermal level but also at the level of dermal-epidermal junction, and so there will be subepidermal split and intraepidermal split. Suprabasal split will be present with acantholytic cells. Dyskeratotic keratinocytes will also be present. There will be vacular vacular change in the basal layer and subepidermal blister in paraneoplastic pemphigus. Then talking about the immunofluorescence on the perilesional skin, the direct immunofluorescence will show the deposition of intercellular deposition of IgG and C3 on the surface of keratinocyte in a fish net appearance of pemphigus vulgaris. Similarly, in pemphigus foliaceus, the same features will be present. In paraneoplastic pemphigus, IgG and C3 deposits will be seen in the intercellular level and also on the basement membrane. Whereas in the IgA pemphigus, there will be IgA deposits in the in the epidermis. Indirect immunofluorescence can be done on the esophageal mucosal substrate, in which we usually detect the unknown antibodies against the known antigens. So mainly the type of the antibody detected is the IgG, mainly IgG4 type, against the desmoglein 1 or desmoglein 3 depending upon the type of the intraepidermal blistering disorder. Besides this, the rat bladder can be used for the paraneoplastic pemphigus. So we should know that for the pemphigus vulgaris, we'll use esophageal mucosa as a substrate, and paraneoplastic pemphigus we can use rat bladder as a substrate. ELISA can be is another investigations in which the 95% of the cases will show the presence of anti-desmoglein 3 antibodies and 50% will show the presence of anti-desmoglein 1 antibodies. The prognosis that usually it has a chronic course, a relapsing remitting course of the disease is present in the suprabasal type of the acantholytic disorders. And usually the average duration of the disease is about 10 years. Poor prognostic factors include the presence of desmoglein 1 and 3 both, extensive disease along with extensive mucosal involvement, early onset of the disease, and Asian descent.